With roots going back to 1990, the Middle East Forum is an independent 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Philadelphia that since 1994 has been promoting American interests in the Middle East and protecting Western values from Middle Eastern threats. According to some information I received yesterday, the Middle East Forum's Islamist Money in Politics Project, IMIP, is releasing the top 10 recipients of 2015-16 campaign contributions from individuals who subscribe to the same Islamic supremacism as Khomeini, bin Laden, and ISIS. And guess who tops the list? Join me to talk more about it, Daniel Pipes, president of the Middle East Forum. He's also an affiliate professor at the University of Haifa, biweekly column appearing regularly in the Washington Times and in newspapers all around the globe. Special interests he holds in the role of Islam in public life, Turkey, the Arab-Israeli conflict, and U.S. foreign policy. By the way, his website is his name, danielpipes.org. And Daniel, it's been a very long time since you and I've chatted, but I'm honored to have you on the show. Thanks for taking time.
And delighted to be invited back on, Don.
I caught this and I thought, how few people, I'm sure, even have a clue as to this. So talk about this Islamist Money in Politics project itself, and then take us into the list and why we ought to be concerned about it.
Well, we've been following the officers of a number of Islamist organizations in the United States. By Islamist, I mean Muslims who seek to build a caliphate and apply Islamic law. It's a minority of Muslims, but it tends to be the ones who are most outspoken and the ones who are having the biggest impact on public life. They, in turn, divide between those who use violence, the jihadis, and those who don't, those who work through the system. It's the violent ones who get the bulk of the attention, but it's my belief that it's those who work through the system, such as this way, giving money to candidates or influencing the curriculum in schools or in the courts. I think that's more effective. And so for some years now, we've been following who gives money to whom. And by far the largest amounts have gone over the years to the two Muslim members of the U.S. House, which is not entirely surprising. But this cycle, that is to say, since 2 years ago, since the midterm elections, the overwhelmingly largest amount of money went to Hillary Clinton. It's not a lot of money. When you think how billions are being raised and spent by the candidates this election cycle, we're talking very small amounts of money. So it's not the money itself, and no one is saying that this money is enough to change the candidate's views. But it is important for a few reasons. First, knowing who's giving, who of the enemy, in effect, is giving money allows us to hold politicians accountable for accepting funds from discredited sources. And secondly, it signals the Islamic lobby's affections, which are the candidates it likes. And three, it tells voters who's taking the money from our enemy and who should be looked at in this light.
Well, a case in point, as you've mentioned, Hillary, the top one to garner funds of this sort. I think it bears also noting, as you do in the piece, that CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is in that list. And not enough Americans apparently really are aware of who CARE is. They've worked hard to scrub their image here in the United States. I know a few months after I started this show, it was CARE that complained to our corporate headquarters about my stance regarding radical Islam and so forth, and CARE. But aside from that fact, talk about who this organization really is and why Hillary herself ought to be concerned to be in any way connected to such an organization.
Interestingly, back 15 years ago, when she was a candidate for Senate, she returned Islamist money, $50,000 worth. But that was then, that was now. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is a spinoff of a spinoff of Hamas, the U.S. government-designated terrorist organization that attacks Israel. It has views similar to Hamas, but it doesn't use violence. It is an effective attack dog organization within the United States with dozens of offices around the country, and in particular a headquarters in Washington, D.C. It has been attacking you, has been attacking me, has been attacking many others. It tends to find an audience far more on the left than on the right. It gets donations from left-wing foundations. It gets endorsements from left-wing politicians and so forth. It doesn't, with very few exceptions, it doesn't get money or support from the right.
Your project has also noted Donald Trump, Gary Johnson, neither has received any Islamist money, but you did mention the two members of the Congress, Keith Ellison and Andre Carson, and also nine Democrats and one independent of familiarity, Bernie Sanders, but in no case did your project find any Republicans taking any of this money.
There are a few Republicans who've taken a little money, but it's pales in comparison to the Democrats. I would say just off the top of my head, it's a ratio about 19-1 Democratic funding by the Islamists to Republican funding by the Islamists. So it's overwhelmingly Democratic, which again is not a surprise. The left and the Islamists work together far more than the right and the Islamists.
We're talking with Daniel Pipes, Middle East Forum, an outstanding organization, a rich history of searching out, ferreting out the truth of things such as this. And you can check Daniel's work out at his website, danielpipes.org. And talk, if you would, also about as you've already said, this is not a, we're not talking much money. It's not the amount. It's the principle. It seems to me that the credible thing to do, and certainly the loyal thing to do for Americans, would be to out of hand just reject this money and say, thank you very much, we don't want it.
Yes, it would be like getting money from self-described fascists or communists. No, thank you. This is not money that is clean. This is not money that we want influencing politics in the American elections. But unfortunately, unlike the year 2000, Hillary Clinton and others have now accepted this money. Our purpose in making this public is in part to shame them into turning this money back and saying, no, thank you, we don't want it. Now, let me emphasize, we're not saying that all Muslim money, all money coming from people of the Islamic faith is unacceptable. No, no, no. We're talking specifically about Islamists, about the people who are creating the problems, who are trying to return to a medieval way of life. You mentioned that they have the same Islamic supremacist attitudes as Khomeini, bin Laden, and ISIS. Those are far, far more violent and extreme versions, but they're all the same ideology. Just because these groups, these people, are not involved in violence doesn't mean they don't have the same ideas. Their ideas are the same. Muslims are superior to non-Muslims. Men are superior to women. Jihad is a legitimate action. The Islamic law needs to be applied in its totality and severity. The caliphate is the ultimate goal of politics.
On that note, talk about, if you would, Daniel, the ongoing agenda, perhaps below the radar for far too long, but it's there, of really Islamizing, if you will, the United States. And this is not to say that every Muslim here or every person of the Islamic faith wants some kind of overthrow of our government. But on the other hand, that is the global agenda of the radical Islamists, is it not?
It very much is. And in their unguarded moments, some of the Islamists in this country have acknowledged as much. For example, the communications director of CARE, someone by the name of Ibrahim Hooper, some 20 years ago, said this to a newspaper reporter in his hometown newspaper in Minneapolis. And from time to time, you see hints at this, that the Quran must be supreme, that Islamic law must rule the country. That's the goal. But in general, these people are careful, unlike the crazy-eyed, violent ones who come out and declare their goal is to see the green flag of Islam over the White House and other such mind-boggling statements. These types are far more cautious. They work within the political system. They know what to say. They know how to present themselves as victims. And they're far more effective. As I said earlier, I think this is what works. Violence gets the headlines, but this kind of money and influence and intellectual development gets results.
To what extent should Americans be concerned about the proliferation of Islamists or Muslim mosques being built in the United States. If we could be sure that every single one of them was simply a place of learning and education for the faith, as opposed to hotbeds often of radical training for some, in some cases, perhaps it wouldn't be a question.
That's right. But unfortunately, the Saudis and others long ago, 60s, 70s, 80s, got into the business of mosque building, institution building. So the great majority, and then the Iranians came along with their own version. So the great majority of mosques and other Islamic institutions tend to be Islamist. One Muslim Sufi leader in the 1990s estimated that 80% of the mosques in this country are Islamist. And I think that sounds about right. So it's a long, hard haul to take these institutions back. The good news is that increasing numbers of Muslims are saying no to the Islamist challenge. 20 years ago, there were very few. Now, more and more. And it's not just in this country. You have a development like ISIS and gruesome, horrible actions by the leadership in Syria and Iraq. And you have Muslims saying, you know, I'm scared of this too. I don't want this. This is not my Islam. I reject this kind of Islam. I want to be a modern Muslim. So things are changing in some ways for the worse, in other ways for the better. I'm overall a bit optimistic that the Islamist surge is petering out.
Well, I want to have you back soon to talk about other things. I don't have time to go to it now, but I did notice that on your website you indicated the president is rumored to be considering supporting or not vetoing a U.N. Security Council resolution regarding a Palestinian state and doing so unilaterally while he's still in office. And we ought to be concerned about that. I hope we can come back with you and talk about that perhaps at the first of next week.
I'd look forward to it.
Again, Daniel Pipes, he is a remarkable man who has served our country well for years on these critical issues. He is the head of the Middle East Forum, and you can check his website out at danielpipes.org. danielpipes.org.